the Monday edition, Mr. Irrelevant. So good to be back with you. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. And hope your Monday is off to a fantastic start. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call, That's All Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands back with me as always. Hunter Vaughn is in the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Lots to get to. Ben Brust, who I now produce his show, will join us in about 10 minutes. We're going to go across a slew of things. I have a ton of things I want to cover with Benny in a short period of time. So we'll talk that. We'll talk a little NBA playoffs. We will talk about the Green Bay Packers as rookie mini camp, essentially in the books, and some of the tryouts in the books. There's a long snapping battle waiting to happen as Peter Bowden, formerly the long snapper at Wisconsin, was signed. He's going to be on the team as we head into training camp in a couple of months. And Peter Bowden could legitimately be the starting long snapper for the Packers. I think that's interesting. We won't talk a ton about that, though. Hunter, how are you? I hope you had a great weekend.
I am doing well. I had a great weekend. We actually got to see each other on Saturday at the Wisconsin Broadcaster Awards Gala. Had a great time in Middleton. So I'm doing well.
I'm happy to hear that. Yeah, we did indeed have a good time in Middleton. The Uber ride was not cheap, but it was worth it. I'll tell you that much. But always good to see you and hang out with you. Yeah, and you know, congratulations to some of our teammates, not just at ESPN Madison and ESPN Milwaukee, but across Good Karma Brands, a ton of wins, including 620 WTMJ just up the hallway from where I am, winning both station and news operation of the year in large market news and talk radio. So really happy for everybody involved there. Kyle Brust and Nortman awarded best radio show. I think it is full credit to their new producer, me. So I will take some credit there. But some of the other happenings over the weekend had me feeling very sad about the Milwaukee Bucks as I was watching some NBA playoffs over the course of the weekend. Obviously, game seven yesterday, had a couple of series start, or one series really start up earlier in the weekend as well on Saturday as the Timberwolves go on the road and beat the Nuggets, the 2-3 matchup in the Western Conference. And, you know, obviously Denver, the reigning defending world champion after winning the NBA Finals last year. And I see the Timberwolves, like this young, up-and-coming team, go into Denver and win game one. And that just made me think of how, despite winning the title in 2021 for the Milwaukee Bucks, I just feel again like an opportunity has been squandered year over year. And it always goes back to this rule of thumb that I use, which is, in the NBA, you got to be a couple of things. You got to be good. You got to be lucky. You got to be healthy. You got to be those three things, and that usually leads to a championship. When you think of Denver last year, right? Jokic and Jamal Murray were on the floor. They were a very good basketball team. They were healthy. They got some breaks along the way, and they ultimately win their first championship with those pair, and Mike Malone, the head coach, winning his first title. When it comes to the Bucks, though, they won in 21, but the last several years now, they just haven't been at least one of, if not two of those things in the postseason. Healthy is just the one they haven't been. When you think back 3 years ago, Chris Middleton gets hurt in that Boston series. That still goes to seven games. Last year, Giannis is hurt. This year, Giannis is hurt, and Dame's hurt a little bit. The Bucks become the first team ever to win a playoff game without their two leading scorers. So yeah, it just makes me depressed. It makes me sad that the opportunity continues to be squandered by this team, and you're watching a young up-and-coming team like the Timberwolves go into Denver and win a game. Game one at that in this playoff series is this young up-and-coming team, which the Bucks were for many years. And they got a title, but I worry about what the future of this team is. I know Giannis will be here. At least I think Giannis will be here. I think Dame will be back next year, and Chris Middleton will be back as well. You have those three pieces, but can you assume the health of all three of those pieces? Unfortunately, no. That's just not a guarantee anymore. So plenty of things that make me depressed about that, but the NBA playoffs have been fun. I am just longing for a Thunder-Timberwolves Western Conference Finals, two young up-and-coming teams who are really fun to watch. But we will see how that plays out, Hunter. Go ahead.
Does this Bucks depression make it worse that Jason Kidd is coaching Dallas still? Like, he kind of won the divorce, right?
Yeah, you brought that up in our pre-show meeting, and I think you're right. I mean, when you think of the chaos, at least at the head coaching position, the Bucks have been through the last couple of years, right? They win the title in 21 after moving on from Jason Kidd. They fire Mike Budenholzer last offseason. They hire Adrian Griffin. They fire him. They bring in Doc Rivers, who is known as the guy who can't win the big game. And here you have Jason Kidd playing his way into a contract extension in the second round of the playoffs. So did Jason Kidd win the divorce? I don't know that the answer is yes, because Mike Budenholzer won a title, but when you have a really fun Dallas team with Kyrie and Luka, you can't help but wonder, huh? Jason Kidd's doing all right for himself, isn't he? He sure is. So I don't know. I don't want to say he won the divorce, but clearly, at least this postseason, Jason Kidd wins the divorce.
But, you know, I just think about there's this story about how, I think it was Thon Maker didn't have an iPhone, so the text, the group chat was green instead of blue, and they all had to run extra because of that. Like, you know, maybe he was onto something, and we should have been a little easier on Jason Kidd. Now, given that he is still coaching, at least, and his team is still in it, and now he's being talked about as getting the Lakers job, potentially, if Dallas loses in this round. Like, dude's winning. If he hasn't won the divorce, he's doing really well and a lot better than you hope that the break you would be post-breakup.
Contract extension gives leeway to, I don't think he would take the Lakers job, right? I don't think he's signing a massive extension if he's getting that job. So, yeah, we will see. We will see what happens in the NBA playoffs. But I'm sad still. I think I've reached I'm not quite to acceptance in the five stages of grief. However, when it comes to grief, nobody handles it worse than Chicago Bears fans, and really Chicago Cubs fans in this case. Caleb Williams was at a Chicago Cubs game over the weekend, threw out the first pitch, kind of a welcome to Chicago moment for the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft. I'm going to show you some video that was circulating around social media this weekend, and you'll notice the guy leading this chant is wearing a USC Caleb Williams jersey. Take a look at Wrigley Field over the weekend.
Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks! Green Bay sucks!
That video from CHGO Sports, Chicago Sports, on Twitter. Green Bay sucks in early May as the Brewers and Cubs go head-to-head at Wrigley Field over the weekend. The thing is, you can say Green Bay sucks all you want, because the last time I checked, people at Lambeau Field are chanting, I own you. Matt LaFleur saying, I own you. 10-0 in his career against the Chicago Bears. Now, I do have hope. I do have faith that this rivalry will be at least a little bit to a point renewed with the addition of Caleb Williams to Chicago. I think he's going to be a fine quarterback in the NFL. I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I think he's going to be a long-term solution, finally, for a team that has desperately needed one since. What do you think? Jay Cutler? So, yeah, I like that there's a little bit of passion in May for the Bears and the Packers rivalry, but it ain't been much of a rivalry over the course of the last decade, 2 decades, 3 decades. The Bears just haven't been relevant. The last meaningful game that these two teams played was in the 2010-2011 calendar year, NFC Championship game. But, yeah, I like living rent-free in the heads of Bears fans. I like that they're going to Wrigley on a beautiful Saturday afternoon in early May and chanting Green Bay sucks as the Cubs are literally beating the Brewers. I love it. I don't worry about the Bears. I think the NFC North has the potential to be the most competitive division in all of the NFL next year. But I don't worry about the Bears. I don't care about the Bears. I like that they care about us in early May, though. Green Bay sucks. Living rent-free. Terrific. But as I just said, I'm hyped up for this season after reading some of the stuff from rookie minicamp. Obviously, you're going to overblow some of the 11-on-11 stuff where there's Marshawn Lloyd, the middle-round running back pick, the third-round running back pick. You know, I think that's, you know, him fumbling. I saw reports of that. That is what it is. It doesn't worry me too much. I just think it's fun to see these guys for the first time in their jerseys and getting some reps across the street from Lambeau Field. It makes me even more excited for the end of July when training camp kicks up. And who knows when what Ben Brust, who will join me in a minute, will wear this July to training camp. As I saw comparisons on Twitter of these Bears fans chanting Green Bay sucks to Ben Brust wearing an Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey at training camp last year. So let's talk to Ben Brust momentarily. But first, we'll take a quick break. We'll hear from our friends from Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits. Door County Distillery break. Ben Brust joins us next right here on Mr. Irrelevant. I'm back at the legendary Door County Distillery with the legendary Beth.
Hi.
Nothing bigger right now than espresso martinis and confession. I've never had one, Beth, so I think I need you to teach me how to make one.
It's real simple. With ours, we do our Java infusion, which is our coffee-infused spirit, our vodka, some chocolate sauce, and some coconut cream, so it's dairy-free for those who can't have lactose. We're gonna start with 2.5 ounces of our Java, because this is a martini, so lots of booze.
Yes!
1.5 of our vodka, about 1/2 ounce of your chocolate syrup, and your coconut cream, or cream if you prefer. Shake this for about 15 seconds.
She's a pro. I'd spill everywhere.
Strain that into our martini glass. There we go. Quick and easy espresso martini.
Time to try it. First ever espresso martinis. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, that's delicious. That's really good. I'm an espresso martini girly now. Yeah, no doubt.
Who isn't?
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com.
Back with you, it's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Stroff with you from the Gruber Law Offices One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. And joining me now, they have a very nice picture on the screen, Benny. I'll show you this. It's of your Rising Stars game from back in high school. It's a pretty good mugshot of you.
Yeah, that was seventh grade in the upstairs, like, computer area, just with a blank wall. Because back,
like, at your middle school?
No, in my house.
Oh.
In order
to get,
like,
the computer area.
Yeah, like desktop computer area era of, like, hard drives and burning CDs. But nowadays, there's coverage of these travel basketball teams from, like, sixth grade through high school. So this was around seventh grade. And back then, if you were, like, found, they didn't, like, come up and take pictures. There weren't these mixtapes. So that was me doing a mugshot of, like, this is who I am. Get that, you know, it was on the internet for articles and stuff.
Mean mugger. I love it. I love it. Benny, so it's been about 2 weeks since I made the trek 70 miles east on I-94, joined the team at ESPN Milwaukee. I'm your new producer on Kyle Bruston-Nortman, and I think it's no coincidence that Kyle Bruston-Nortman wins the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Award for Best Radio Show over the weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And
thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Yeah, I should be thanking you. You're right. You know, thank you, Alex Stroh, for everything you did to contribute in the last, has it been 2 weeks?
Wednesday will be 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, 2 weeks Wednesday. So it's been 8 work days?
I think this will be the 9th, yeah.
Oh my
Maybe
gosh.
Eighth, yeah.
Leave it to you. Leave it to you that even when you weren't a part of something, you make it about yourself.
Oh, yeah.
You have some Ben Brust in you, and I appreciate that.
I do have some Ben Brust in me. A little bit of an ego. How am I doing so far? Am I doing all right?
I mean, did you have me on close to show prep on purpose so that I'm not prepping for the show now? So now, not only are you not prepping for Kyle Bruston-Nortman, you're doing the show right now, Mr. Irrelevant, which I'm happy to be on, but you're taking me away from Kyle Bruston-Nortman. So now we have two of the four assets that put together Kyle Bruston-Nortman not working on Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
Yeah.
So maybe that's my answer of how I feel like you're doing so far.
This was done on purpose because, and I know a lot of people that watch on YouTube also watch Kyle Bruston-Nortman, and they've seen your performance the last couple of weeks. Joseph S. chiming in on YouTube on the ESPN Milwaukee stream. Strofe over Brust. Strofe is living rent-free in Ben's head. Would you say that's accurate?
Absolutely. You're living rent-free because your performance is so bad that I can't stop thinking about how I can make you better.
Oh, is that it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You're rent-free because of the potential, the P word that you have. You know, you got potential.
How do I?
But we need you to reach that potential.
Okay.
And I know Joseph commented that you are a better host than me, and I agreed with Joseph. You host a lot more. You've probably hosted more radio shows, but Joseph, his main role and priority at ESPN Milwaukee is to be a producer. So I don't want him to be greater than me at hosting. I want him to help me be a better host and help the show be the best show that Kyle Bruston-Nortman can be. So there you go. I bumped your ego and I told you to get back to work.
Okay, so let's talk about it because something you did today really caught my eye, and that's probably from not working with you in the office. Now, what should be noted for context is you moved your desk to be directly to my left.
Yes.
Right? So how it's kind of set up is there's four desks, and then there's like a head
fifth,
of the table.
Like a head, yeah.
You took the head of the table spot. I'm in the bottom left if we're looking at it from a bird's eye view.
I got my eye on you.
Yeah, so you're right next to me. So you are very much on the record when you go number two at work or anywhere, you use wet wipes.
Yes.
Now, what I thought was weird is you took the wet wipe package out of your backpack this morning.
So because it was you, Alex Stroff, like I had no problem because you know this. So it's like I was just going to grab them and go to the bathroom. But like typically, there's this misconception in all of our heads that when we go number two at work, that everyone's like watching us, like you know what I mean? Like there's a show in How I Met Your Mother where it's like, well, good luck going to the bathroom. Like it's actually like a bit because everyone thinks like, oh, I'm going to the bathroom. Is anyone thinking about? No one's thinking about what you're doing. And so typically, I grab my wipes from my backpack, like, and I don't show them to anyone. I just grab them and I go about my business. With you, I was like, let's see if he reacts to me grabbing wet wipes in front of him. And of course, you reacted.
So what? But what I thought was weird is you grabbed two individually, I think.
Yep.
And then you put the package back.
Yes.
And you carried these. And like you went and had a sales conversation before heading to the restroom.
What are you talking about?
You like stopped and chatted with somebody for a while. Yes. And so I'm thinking these things are just going to dry up and not
purpose. I keep them closed and tight and and they're ready to clean hinder as soon as I'm ready to use them.
All right. I'm done talking about this. I just thought that was odd. That's all.
Yeah. I'm fresh as a bee right now.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'm fresh. I'm feeling very fresh.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy to have fresh breast on Mr. Irrelevant. So I just played the audio before you joined from a Cubs game over the weekend.
Yeah.
Where Chicago Bears fans and Cubs fans notably are cheering Green Bay sucks after Caleb Williams threw out the first pitch. Now, you obviously come from a unique perspective. You grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. So obviously you know Bears fans. Your brother, notably, has called into your show many times as the local and notable Bears fans.
And when you get a day like I believe was the Cubs Brewers where it was decent outside,
yeah,
and the bleachers just get full of just absolutely sloshed people.
Oh, creatures. I mean, yes, that would be one word to describe them. Creatures out in the bleachers, and they're chanting, Green Bay sucks. Although this rivalry hasn't really been much of one.
No, and definitely I was listening to Mr. Irrelevant, and you didn't even cite Elton Jenkins, who joined your show and talked about being undefeated.
Him and LaFleur started the same year together. Yeah, absolutely. So 10-0 for both of them in their careers against the Chicago Bears.
I was trying to give you an idea to pop your own show next time. We had Elton Jenkins right here on Mr. Irrelevant talking about how he hasn't beat the Packers.
You're good at this hosting thing.
Yeah.
The Bears haven't beat the Packers. Yeah, you can find that interview, by the way, the ESPN Madison YouTube page. It's doing great numbers, so you can go check it out if you haven't already.
Let's do even better.
I love you. You're ridiculous. What do you make of that, though, right? Like, it's May. It's beautiful outside. We're watching a baseball game.
Well, you let me know. You texted me that I'm a meme again.
Yeah,
it
got resurfaced.
Aaron Rodgers Jets jersey from last summer. What do I make of that? I make of this as every reason why I've disassociated myself with any Chicago sports team. And it's loser behavior. And what I don't want to be around is loser behavior. Loser behavior is chanting Green Bay sucks when you literally haven't done anything on the field. Sure, you may have won the NFL draft or you in your mind you've won April. You can have all the pieces in the world to look like you're going to have a team that's successful. But until I see a franchise that has had no true success, really no true success since 2007 when they went to the Super Bowl, it was 4th-and-8 in 2010. It was 2014 mm-hmm. In which they were competitive. But like every single time you think you're going to see 2010 NFC Championship game, Packers win. 2014, 4th-and-8. You have a chance to win the division. Packers win. You have to do something of significance. Otherwise, you just sound like a loser. You sound like a loser. If you chant Green Bay sucks, you are telling yourselves, I am rooting for hope right now. And like they haven't even seen Caleb Williams. That's why it's fun to be like, we know at least in an 8-game sample size, Jordan Love looks like a franchise quarterback, and he might be paid $50 million a year to do so. They don't even know if Caleb Williams... The best thing in the world for them is that they could potentially have that rookie quarterback with that 5-year window of not paying him all that money to continue to build around the team. But guess what? He hasn't played a snap. And if he's not as good as they hope he is, it doesn't matter who you have out there.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And the reason you take another bite at the apple is because what you've seen from this guy at the collegiate level, you just hope is better than what Justin Fields was at the pro level. And I think the opportunity there is the smart decision to make,
of
right?
Course.
Is moving on and resetting the clock and having the rookie contract.
As we talk, they're looking at Justin Fields to do kickoffs.
Yeah, in Pittsburgh. The idea of him being a kick returner has been floated, which is just bananas to me. And another quarterback in the NFC North, Alex Magoo, great first name, might be a wide, or he switched to wide receiver now for the Packers, which anyway, not really worth the time to spend on, but very interesting nonetheless, as we're kind of in this weird offseason transitional period where these weird conversations are happening.
Right, I was thinking about that coming into work today of like, huh, all right, the Bucks playoff run is over. The Milwaukee Brewers, I hope they continue to stay super competitive, but they need, you know, another pitcher. I'd love to get Yelich back, no pun intended, because he was playing really well, but like that
pun was intended, don't worry us.
That excitement won't really be there. So now this is our first true off season with some knowledge of Jordan Love. And not talk, because at this point had Rodgers had been traded at this point, but the Bucks were knocked out of the first round, so it is still just Rodgers, Packers. What's Love going to be? We have a blank canvas as content creators to talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about, which what we think is going to reach sports fans of Wisconsin. I think that's a fun challenge because whether you are annoyed by Aaron Rodgers or not. He was a walking freaking headline. We don't have any walking freaking headlines in Wisconsin. And that may be a great thing for the sports teams. It may be a great thing for us to do whatever we want to do. I just like it's fun. I'm coming to work every day and it's not, hey, what did Rodgers say? It's
no doubt. I mean, it's much different, right? So this is my fourth offseason with ESPN Wisconsin. The first two were taken up, as you mentioned, by Aaron Rodgers and the drama and Willie won't he. Last year was the trade, and to your point, the Jordan Love, what's he going to be, kind of what they're doing in Chicago right now with Caleb Williams. And now this year, it's like, okay, this is boring. Right? Nothing's happening.
Yeah. Like you talked about, you're like, yeah, I went to the social pages. I checked out the rookies in their first draft.
I actually got to pay attention to that.
Yeah, that's never something that's ever been talked about, ever.
No.
Like, actually, rookie minicamp didn't even exist. I didn't even know it existed. I mean, I did, but it's not something where it's like anything newsworthy, but it is because Goody hit the draft last year, and so now all eyes are on these young guys.
For sure.
I actually think it's going to be a huge challenge for these rookies because the expectations of Packer fans are set unbelievably high based off what the guys did last year as rookies, that if anything is shorter than the success of what happened in last year's draft class— it's going to feel like they got a lot to carry, and I think fans are going to maybe expect too much.
No, you're right about that. I was super intrigued by the Packers season, the offseason ahead. I know you got to run here in a minute, but I do want to actually get a few thoughts on Badgers men's basketball because it's been a weird offseason. We haven't spent a ton of time on it on this show or really any show because we're all wondering, okay, after Asijan and Chucky both leave.
Store,
of course, leaves. But that one was more expected than the other two. You're wondering, how the heck is this team going to rebuild, right? They lose, I think, five scholarship players, one being Tyler Wall due to the graduation, the other four in the portal. And now they're starting to add some pieces, including Cameron Hunter, I think, is going to join us on Wednesday's show. I'm fascinated by...
Oh, so you booked a guest for Mr. Irrelevant, but not for Kyle Bruston-Ortman?
But you got Jason Wilde today, man. You're welcome. And Brian Bulaga later on the show.
Those have been booked far before you were the producer.
But yes, I did indeed. I'm curious what you make of your guy Gardo and how he's able to navigate this really weird path in the NIL era and the transfer portal era and trying to rebuild a team that is going to look completely different than it did a year ago.
Again, I think the good part about what Coach Gard has done in his tenure is he's adapted to whatever's happened, right? And he's usually come out on the other side. Now, that hasn't happened from an NCAA tournament standpoint, but in 2020, Kobe King, you know, like all that. They won eight games in 2020 before the NCAA tournament and COVID happened to win a share of the Big Ten title the same season that they lost two games in the Thanksgiving tournament, right? Mm-hmm. Like 2022, Johnny Davis, you know, comes along after an average freshman year and they win a Big Ten title. Now, he keeps coming back from, you know, different things when they don't think they're going to do something, but all the expectations now for him, whether it's fair or not fair, are going to be looked at the NCAA tournament. But where I will give him credit is he has, like, believe it or not, you may not want to believe this, he has been very active in the portal. I mean, he brought AJ Storr in. Like, that is finding good talent, utilizing your resources. Now, having the money to pay someone like that, that is just an unfortunate situation right now where you can't pay stars at a level in which you want to be able to do at Wisconsin. In my opinion, it's due to the fact that you have two buckets of major programs and they're fighting for the same thing. It's money for their programs from boosters. So you're almost like recruiting against yourselves in a way of like, which donor can provide the most value for NIL so we can be successful in basketball and football. But naturally, it's a football state and you need more money for football, and football drives the most revenue, and then comes basketball. So I'm proud of the fact that he went and utilized the portal, and it's going to be a completely different team this year. I don't know if they're going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be bad. But what I do know is I will applaud the fact that he went out after everything happened and he filled the roster with portal guys. Now, if they translate from mid-major to not, great. If the Missouri guy who was hurt comes in and does well, great. He took some stabs at it and he's building a team. Now, can he get this team to come together with the untraditional way of knowing guys are going to be there and develop together? You have to expedite the growth process and the team process and the winning process right away, because there's no time to be like, yeah, well, we just got these guys, they're coming back next year. It's just, that's not the world we live in anymore. So it's going to be big to find results, but you got to give him credit for going to get guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he was in a really tough spot, and rightfully so. There was a lot of heat directed his way after the first round exit, and again, unable to make it to the second weekend, which is something he hasn't done since 2017. Is that what it's going to take? Is it a Sweet 16 appearance to get some of the people to stop breathing down his neck?
Yes. Yeah. Part of me feels like they could win the Big Ten championship, the Big Ten Tournament Championship, but if they lost in the first round, people wouldn't care about the season. They would say it was a failure.
Yeah, but I think expectations come along with that, right? And I think that was a big thing this year, where you appear in the Big Ten Championship game, you're close to the top four, despite kind of a rocky month of February, and then you get bounced by, what was it, a 13 seed?
So 12-5.
12-5, still. A 12 seed?
And a 12 seed that got demolished the next game.
Yeah, by Duke.
And a 12 seed that really wasn't that great. Your team did not look engaged in a moment where they needed to be fully engaged.
Yeah, they didn't look like the same team that played the week prior in the Big Ten tournament. So we will see. I mean, obviously there's a lot of time, about 5 months until the college basketball season kicks up, but it's a new era, man. It's a new world, and it is a fascinating one at that. But I think guard's done better than he gets credit for.
With someone like you, and someone like me, for someone who played in the era of 4 years, not everyone stays 4 years, but like you usually grow these relationships with players.
Right, but you stay and develop, right.
Where you were a fan and you grew relationships with liking players when you were younger, being a Badger fan, to how do you become a fan and embrace somebody that is just going to leave you if there's more money?
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's hard because I think the one guy who I'd given a ton of credit to, and I don't fault them for leaving, but who I'd given a ton of credit to, who felt like a true Badger, was Chucky Hepburn.
Of course.
I never thought he was going to leave.
Yeah, but Gardo said it himself. He can't blame what he left for.
And exactly.
Your window of opportunity in college basketball, if you don't have a true NBA career, you have to maximize the heck out of your value.
Yeah.
And I ran into him and I told him the exact same thing. I can't blame you for making a decision that you think's best for your situation.
So you bring that up, and I think I already know the answer because we have talked about it off the air. Is if you were playing in this era, you're leaving after what? Your sophomore year?
Gardo told me I said sophomore year. Gardo goes, you would have left your freshman year,
probably.
And I was like, interesting. Would I have? Didn't play? Was there? But here's why I said sophomore year, because I would have had tape. I had a really good start to the season against high quality opponents where I had 7 threes twice. BYU, UNLV, like if you have that tape and you show like your value and a team's not looking for you to fit like the Wisconsin system, send that out there and
you're going to find somebody.
Well, what's the bidder? You know,
right.
What's the price and what's the school and weigh those options like you do.
Do you think you would have ended up what, mid-major or
no, I would have been
power five, power six.
I would have been able to go high major with that tape.
Sure. Sure.
Especially that young.
For sure, with multiple years of eligibility left.
Set the single game record twice as a sophomore against high major teams.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept to me, but it's a new era, and I'm grateful you didn't plan it.
I'm not.
You wish you had the money.
Hell yeah, man! I probably would have blew it, but it's a different story.
Yeah, that's just like you did in Lithuania. Thanks, Benny. Get the show prep.
Yeah, I'm 2 minutes late. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. We'll do it again soon. It's Ben Brusty here each and every weekday from 2 to 5 across ESPN Wisconsin on Kyle Brusten Nortman, best produced show on the ESPN Wisconsin airwaves. You would agree with that, right?
You didn't even get us a guest.
He's the best. That's Ben Brust. You can get him on Twitter at Ben Brust. Want to go back, Hunter, to the NBA playoffs. I'm curious from your perspective. We've got a couple of series left, right? Four series here with eight teams remaining. Which one intrigues you most? Is it Celtics, Cavs, Pacers, Knicks, or on the Western Conference side, Thunder, Mavs, Timberwolves, Nuggets? Which one of those tickles your fancy most? I think there is an obvious answer.
See, part of me wants to say Mavs, Thunder. Just because, like, I just like watching Luka and Kyrie. Like, that's just so fun. But, it's Pacers-Knicks. Like, I'm going to feel sad the whole time I watch it. But I'm just going to be, like, watching the whole time, like, oh, if the Bucks were in, Giannis would be playing. Like, the Pacers are inevitably going to lose a game by, like, 40 in this one. And it's going to make me angry. Yeah. But that's just... I've gotten to the point where that's just how I watch sports. So really, it's Pacers-Knicks.
I'm glad you're starting to accept that about yourself, because I've told you for the entirety that we've done this show that you kind of are an angry sports watcher, which is fine, right? Everybody watches
it is a different fun way. To be angry as a sports fan.
It is. You're not wrong. You're not. I mean, I'd rather be happy, but I understand your point, right? How are you going to be happy after the Bucks lost in which the way they did to an Indiana Pacers team who they really probably realistically should have beaten? And if they had Giannis, they would have beaten him probably in five or six. But he's that much of a series changer. But you're right. It is hard to watch the Indiana Pacers and go, oh, man, I'm so happy for them. I'm not going to do that. The Knicks are a fun team now, right? Jalen Brunson. And think about this, right? Remember where he played before in New York, Hunter? Dallas.
Yep.
Think if it was Brunson and Luka. And I don't think you get Kyrie. That's too much, too many guards. You could maybe make it work. Kyrie is the one. Brunson is the two. Luka is the three. I just don't know how sexy that would be. But that Kyrie-Luka duo is so much fun. And that Thunder team is so much fun. And as you know, I have some background as a Thunder fan, a fake Thunder fan from back in the day. So always rooting for them. But no, the obvious answer to me is Wolves-Nuggets. Wolves stealing the first game on the road in Denver at Ball Arena over the weekend. And you've got the future of the NBA playing on the Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards might be the face of the NBA coming up in no time. I believe he will win multiple MVPs. I believe he can help the Wolves at least get close, if not win an NBA title. And we're in such a period, and I forgot who I was talking to over the weekend that pointed this out to me, but it's a great point, is this is the first time in it feels like a decade that there's true parity in the NBA. If the Celtics lose, hypothetically, to the Cleveland Cavaliers, which I don't think will happen, but let's say they get bounced before the conference finals, and you have Cavs, Knicks, Thunder, Wolves as your four remaining teams. Think about the parity that you didn't expect to see in the NBA playoffs. It feels like they're in NFL territory in terms of parity again, which it has been a really long time since the popularity of super teams came into play, that there is true parity in the league. And you see the reigning champions lose game one on their home floor to the up-and-coming Timberwolves over the weekend. Like, that creates so much juice for me towards these NBA playoffs. So I am all in on the NBA playoffs. The only series that really does bother me is the one that bothers you, Hunter. That is Knicks Pacers. I will probably go out of my way to avoid that series in the long run.
You know, the only problem with all of the parity is the fact that it has still been dominated by the Western Conference. With having the run that Golden State had, you had the Lakers, while it was a Mickey Mouse title in the bubble, and then you've had now the Nuggets looking the way that they have. Like, that's the only thing where I'm like, there is parity, but it's also a little bit of a, in air quotes, because the West has just been so good for so long now.
Yeah, no, you're totally right about that. So we will see as it continues to play out, and we will continue to talk about it as we lead to the NBA Finals. My juice level is high, though, for the NBA playoffs, which is fun, because it isn't always, especially this early, right? You get some good series, you get some good games, but to have this level of parity is just really, really fun. All right, let's wrap up the show as we always do each and every episode. You learn something new every day. I learn something new, and this one's out there, Hunter. I'm going to need your reaction on this one. It's time now for What Strofe Learned. So there's an article from the Huffington Post making the rounds, and this was something this woman said on her talk show. Drew Barrymore, back in the day, had a handwritten list of all of the people she's canoodled with, and she accidentally left the handwritten list at a house of a friend of hers. And as I read the name of the friend of hers that she left this list at, it just clicked in my head like, yeah, that's probably a person you would want to leave that list with. Her friend, Hunter, Danny DeVito. Drew Barrymore left the list of people she's canoodled with at Danny DeVito's house. And first off, just the absurdity of having a list of people you've canoodled with is way over my head. It's something I can't comprehend. But to have it handwritten and to be messy, she self-proclaimed herself as messy and unorganized. She left this list at the house, at the estate of one Danny DeVito. And I guess if there's anybody that I don't personally know that I would want this list in the hands of, it's probably Danny DeVito. So that just had to be one of the most absurd stories I've ever heard. And what I learned is that Danny DeVito and Drew Barrymore are friends to the point where Drew Barrymore is crashing in Danny DeVito's guest bedroom. Crazy to me.
Yeah,
I just wonder if Danny DeVito is on that list. But anyway, continue.
I don't think so. There's a big age gap there, but it is Hollywood. They're weird.
That's true.
Just the fact that they're friends, and I'm trying to like connect the dots of like things I've seen them both in, and like how would they have gotten connected? Like, that's just crazy to me. Like, he seems like you said, like he seems like the best, like kind of normal, like fun guy. Like, I would love to just hang out with Danny DeVito. Like, it'd be so fun. My problem is I'd start probably asking him questions about the Batman movie that he was in.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, and also it's 2024, Drew. Like, what are we doing? Like, put that on your phone. Keep that in a note.
So yeah, right. Keep that in the notepad. And I don't think it was recent. So after a quick Google search, the movie Duplex, which came out in 2003,
what?
Starred Ben Stiller and Drew Barrymore, was directed by Danny DeVito. So I imagine it may have been around 2003 when this happened, but still obnoxious to me. And I did not realize. I mean, you're right. It's Hollywood. They're weird. They're all connected some way. That just blew my mind. And something I thought was just strictly outrageous. All right, that does it for us today. Big thanks to Ben Bruss for talking a little Badgers hoops, a little Packers football, and all the in-betweens. Big thanks to Tiny Hands for running the show, making us sound good, making us look good on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube channel. A reminder, if you missed any of the show, you can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, full version on the video side available on the ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison YouTube channels. Just search Mr. Irrelevant, and you will find it. We'll talk to you on Wednesday. I think Cameron Hunter is going to join us, the newest Badger, or one of the newest Badgers. We will work to confirm that over the course of the next 48 hours, but interested to learn some of his recruitment process and some of the ins and outs of the transfer portal. I don't know how many people I've actually had a long-form conversation with that have gone through it. So I want to get some more ins and outs of how that process works. So we'll try to do that on Wednesday with you, beginning at 12:30 on the ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison YouTube channels. We'll talk to you then. I'm Alex Stroh. Peace.